Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Well, thank you very much, Phil, and a happy new year to you all. Very good to see you, and welcome to you listening on the live stream. Good to be speaking to you, and a happy new year to you all as well. Well, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 10 in a moment, but let me just pray as we begin. Our great God and Father, as we come to your word, we ask that through your word, by your Holy Spirit, you would equip us so that we might live well and faithfully for Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, I know that for many people, the COVID season has been a time to reflect, to think, and to do things differently. And as we do that, of course, we are beginning to think about how we will do things once the COVID crisis has passed. Although, of course, that does seem quite a way off as yet. People are thinking about how they will work differently. Will they continue to work from home or go back to commuting? Will we ever shop again in the high street, or will we just use the internet from now on? But what about church? Shall we ever bother with church again? Or should we just all stay at home and stay online? I mean, it has advantages, doesn't it? It's more convenient, often easier. It's actually been a blessing for families as they've listened together. It'll always be safer. And it's cheaper, of course. We could sell a building and just do things from our studies or whatever. And, you know, you folk who have battled out this morning, maybe you're just flying the flag for tradition, a tradition that's possibly just going to die at some point. Should we bother again with church, with real church gatherings, as we emerge from this thing sometime in 2021, should we bother? You see, this break from normal church life gives us a chance to think about the importance of church. And it's good to take, isn't it, time to reflect, to go back to the scriptures and ask the question, what is the point of church? Why do we need to meet as a community? Well, to begin to answer that question, we're going to go back to Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. By the way, there are other verses, other sections of scripture we could go to which give us different reflections on our meetings, but this is a great place to start. And as we look at those verses, just let me set them again in their context. The writer of the Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians who were in danger of drifting away from the faith. They had believed in Jesus Christ. They had made a great start. But they were now in danger of drifting back to Judaism. Why? Well, for many of them, walking with Christ was just too hard. One of the problems is they were outsiders. Outsiders to the authorities, and some of them had been in prison, and they were outsiders to the impressive and well-established Jewish faith. And so they were suffering from the faith, for the faith. And the writer of the Hebrews writes to encourage them, to exhort them to continue in Jesus Christ. And he reminds them and teaches them just how wonderful Christ is. He teaches them that Jesus is the great high priest. He compares what they had under Moses as what they have in Christ. And we see there that he is a better priesthood. Jesus offers a better sacrifice, a better hope, better promises, establishes a better covenant. Why go back when you have what everything was pointing to? You have Jesus Christ, the great high priest. So he gives them this wonderful truth about Jesus. And then here in chapter 10, verse 19, we get a therefore. Therefore, since we have Jesus Christ, since we have this access to God, since we have the forgiveness of sins, since we have this fantastic salvation, what are we to do? And three times in these verses we get, let us. Let us. Let us do this. Very quickly, the first two are there. Verse 22, let us draw near to God. Jesus is the great high priest. Through Christ we can come to God, receive salvation and help. So the first is, let us draw near to God. Let us go on coming to God in Christ. The second is there in verse 23. It's basically, let us keep going. We've got this wonderful salvation. Let us hold unswervingly to this hope. We're going to keep going in this. Now you wonder at verse 23 where he doesn't stop. Surely that's all we need to hear. Surely we have all that we need in Jesus. Let's just keep on going to God through him. Surely we just need to keep going in this faith. Just me, my family, and Jesus. Let's keep going. But there's a third let us. 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. There's a third let us, which tells us that we need each other, that we need to help each other. The Christian faith is not simply me and my family following Jesus, being faithful to the end, that is central to it. We need each other. We need the community in that walk in the faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need each other. Let's just have a look at the aspects of this need that we have for each other. Firstly, in verse 24, we need each other to provoke each other to love and good deeds. We need to consider how we might spur one another on. The word there is provoke. In your families, I suspect that over Christmas there was a whole lot of provoking going on as families gathered. We provoke someone when we stimulate them to action. We steal their toy. That provokes them to action. We tease them. That provokes them to action. We never wash up. That provokes others to get irritated and to action. We will not let them have that turn. It initiates a reaction in them. It provokes a reaction. We provoke, but very easily, the not so good things. I wonder whether the writer of Hebrews uses the provoke word here because he knows how prone we are to provoking each other to not so good things. And he says here, provoke each other into good things. We are to provoke each other into loving others and doing good deeds. In other words, we are to help each other and to provoke each other into living out the Christian life in love and good deeds. If you read through the letter, you see that these Christians had started well. They'd visited their brothers and sisters in prison. They'd care for each other in needs. and they are again to provoke each other into living well for Christ, to loving well for Christ, to doing good deeds in Christ's name. And we, as a community, are called to provoke, to think about how we can provoke each other to love and good deeds, to encourage each other to love others, provoke each other to forgive others, to say, actually, you need to forgive that person. You need to let go. You need to be gracious towards that person. We need to provoke each other and say, you need to grow in patience. Provoke each other to be generous. As we put, say, projects before you, we're provoking you. Provoking you to give and to care for the poor. Provoke each other. Look, someone over there, they're lonely. Can you have them in your life? Provoke each other to hospitality. Have that person round. Open your home. Why don't you have those new people round? Provoke each other. And by the way, we could do with some folk to work on the PA rota, and we could always do with new stewards. Can I provoke you to think about that and to help? So we are to provoke each other. We are to love and good deeds. That's the first aspect of why we need each other, to provoke each other on. The second aspect, we need each other, so we are to meet together. If we are going to help each other, we need to meet together. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Right there in the first century, we see that there's a problem with flaky church attendance. Those who had initially met with the people of God drifted off. Now, by the way, I immediately want to say, particularly to some of you on the live stream, I know that there are a number out there who would love to be with us, love to meet with God's people, would love to be seated with us this morning, and who can't, are shielding or very vulnerable. Please don't be discouraged by this. We know that you would love to be with us. But I need to speak to a moment for those who are very reluctant to meet with God's people, to actually gather with God's people. I just want to reflect with you and invite you to reflect on the own state of your own heart. If you don't want to be with God's people. I remember one of the elders here saying something which I think was very wise. I shall not embarrass the elder in question by naming him. He just said, I can't remember what the conversation was about. He just said, healthy sheep want to be with the flock. Healthy sheep want to be with the flock. Doesn't mean meeting with the flock is necessarily easy. Healthy sheep know that they need to be with the flock for their own sakes and for the sake of others. Healthy sheep want to be with the flock. And you see, some were straying away and not meeting with God's people. Why? Because some of them were drifting, becoming dull to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some were on the edge of giving up on the faith. That's why they were drifting to the edge. Some, we read in Hebrews, were just lazy. Some, I suspect, Hebrews 12, excuse me, had become bitter in some way. And that bitterness of Hebrews 12 is maybe a bitterness towards others, or maybe it's the bitterness of idolatry, worshipping other things, family, hobbies. It will keep many from being with God's people. Maybe just wrong priorities. Maybe just a very little love for the people of God. Maybe no heart for God and His Word. Healthy sheep, even when it's difficult, will want to be with the flock and know it's a good place to be. And maybe if you don't want to be and you can't see it as in this season you just don't want to be back with God's people, maybe just have a season of reflection on that. Maybe actually you don't want to be with God's people because you've never been born again. It's very hard if you don't love God and you haven't been born again in the Spirit, you won't love His Word and you'll find it difficult to love His people. Maybe actually what you need to be is born again. Ask God to give you life. Maybe it's actually a function of you're just very young in the faith, an ill-disciplined believer. Give me maturity. Pray that. Maybe you are just weary. Ask for God to give you strength. Maybe you become bitter and cynical. Maybe you need to forgive and be gracious. The Bible tells us we need each other. We need to meet with each other. Others need you. We need each other. Of course, the first century meetings, I suspect, were very different to our typical Sunday meeting. If you look at, say, 1 Corinthians, the first century meetings, I suspect, they were longer. They would have involved a meal, time to share with each other, teaching, a time for prayer. Just kind of think it's a kind of combination of our church picnic, a home group, a main Sunday service, and a prayer meeting. All those things were done in big homes. And we need those components. To be taught, to be able to share, to be able to speak, to be able to speak into each other's lives, to be able to pray together. We kind of try and offer that in a package through Sunday and home groups. But we need that real engagement with God's Word, with each other. So we've seen firstly that we need each other to provoke each other to love and good deeds. Secondly, we see we need each other. We need to gather. We need to be with each other. Thirdly, we need to encourage each other on in the race. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are to urge each other on. It can also, that word can mean comfort. We're to push. Sometimes to push, sometimes to put an arm round the shoulder. We encourage each other on in the faith, all the more as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about His return. Sometimes you may have been on a long walk, and that long walk has turned into a very difficult walk. It's raining. There are blisters. There are difficulties. You're lost. You found the right way again. What do you do? Well, obviously you need to spend the first few minutes apportioning blame and doing all that kind of stuff that needs to happen on the wall. But once you're through that, you need to help each other. You can't just leave people out there. You've got to get the whole lot home. We need to keep going. We're nearly there. Just think about the hot bath, the meal, the sense of achievements. The stories we'll be able to tell. You encourage one another on. You push one another on. You chide and try and get each other to the ends. And we're to do that in the Christian life. On the difficult walk. Not looking ahead to the bath and the meal, but looking according to the day approaching. We don't want to miss out. We want to be walking with Christ when He returns. We want to keep going. That's our focus. And it's not the first time it's been said in the letter. Listen to this urging and encouraging. Hebrews 3, 12 and 14. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Keep speaking to each other every day so that no one gets lost and is deceived by sin. Sin tells lies. It's not true. You can live like that. You don't need them. You don't need to follow Christ in that way. We need to encourage one another on. No one is able to stand alone. No one is that strong or that smart or that able to avoid lies. keeping that focus. A good friend of mine, we read, I think it was J.C. Ryle's Holiness book back in, must have been 20 or 30 years ago, and a phrase which struck us both, I think it's from that book, is just a few more summers and a few more winters. We've only got a few more summers and a few more winters, and we'll be home. And I have a lot less summers and winters now than when we first started saying that to each other. We'll soon be home. Keep going. Serving Christ. So we need each other to provoke each other to love and good deeds. We need each other so we need to meet. We need each other to encourage each other on as we look to the return of Christ. Church is essential. We need each other. Local communities of believers are essential for the welfare of God's people. A couple of thoughts, though. And this is one that we're going to have to talk about and think through. Why Zoom and the internet is not enough? Important question. I think, of course, that the technology has been fantastic for us. And it will be a great help going forward. I suspect it has extended the reach of many churches as people are able to listen in, and that is wonderful, and to check us out and to hear the gospel in the safety of their own homes, the comfort of their own homes. That is just fantastic. It has been able that people who wouldn't otherwise have got out have been able to come to things, to engage with things. It's going to be great, I think, for a teaching tool. So many useful things which we have gained through the technology, and I think we'll continue to benefit from. But what would be lost if that's all we had? Think family. Think Christmas. What would family be like if every Christmas was like this Christmas? And you had to do now forever presents on Zoom. The meal on Zoom, if you had a meal with your relatives on Zoom. Imagine you were never able to see your family ever again other than on Zoom and on the internet. What would happen? It would be a serious diminishing. You can't go for a walk on Zoom and feel the same winds. And smell the same smell. And have those quiet moments as you're just walking along. You can't do hospitality on Zoom. Actually have someone into your house and to share a meal. You can't sit in the same room and read quietly together. You can't hold a hand on Zoom. If you're a grandparent, you can't bounce your grandchild on your knee on Zoom and hold their hands. To know and to love and to serve each other and to enjoy each other, we need to be together. We find it hard actually to listen to a screen. There is something about someone being there in front of us. Families will always need to meet. Church families will always need to meet. Real relationships can be painful and difficult and tiring, but they are the ones that bring blessing. To be thought through, but I think it's just worth saying at this point all of those things. And really, I just want to close out by saying I want you, as we think about this, to reflect on this fact that we need each other. What does that mean? How should that change the way we think? The first thing I think is to say, to recognize we are not in competition with each other. We are here to help each other. Here to be a blessing to each other. Our aim is to make sure we all keep going in the Lord Jesus Christ and to use the time we have on this earth well. To keep going and to use it well. And gathering is part of what we do, to be taught, encouraged, and encourage one another on. So I just want to encourage you to have the mindset of an encourager. How can I help others to love and good works? How can I help the others to keep going? How can I comfort? How can I urge? How can I help others to grow in the faith? Always allowing ourselves as well to be encouraged. Doing that even now, through Zoom, through internet, whatever that means for us, in the circle of people that you know, having that mindset of being an encourager amongst God's people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for our great high priest, our wonderful Savior. We thank you that through him we can draw near to you. Lord, we know that you have called us to him. And help us as a community to help each other. We thank you for all the help and love that there has been during this, whatever, 9 months of COVID. We pray, Lord, that as we emerge from this sometime this year or next, help us to deepen it in our appreciation of each other, our encouragement of each other. Help us to gather joyfully and willingly in the various settings we have, for our good and for your glory. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to have a song sung to us, How Firm a Foundation, which is actually a song which speaks to, we're speaking to each other in this. So as we, in our hearts, follow the words, as it were, be speaking this to our brothers and sisters and encouraging them on. Thank you.
Through fire. pathway shall lie. His grace, O sufficient, shall be your supply. The flame shall not harm you, His only design. Your dross to consume, and your gold to refine. The soul that in Jesus has found its repose, He will not, He cannot desert to its toes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, He'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Amen. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.